Let's just pray first, and we'll then just share together from God's word. Father God, thank you for your word. We bless you. You've spoken the truth that sets people free. And we pray you'll bless it to our hearts as we share together this morning. Grant us your light and grace, Father, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and it's the section that Jesus is doing by dealing with the Ten Commandments and how they apply. I've got here a picture of Mount Sinai, which we believe is Mount Sinai. It's in Arabia. It's not in the Sinai Peninsula. I'm sure they got the wrong place there. It's in Arabia, as Paul says in one of his letters. And you'll see the top of the mountain's burnt there. And there's lots of geographical things that give it away. But the Ten Commandments were given there to the people of Israel. And what we see in the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus, in a sense, re-giving the commandments, but showing us what they're after, what the meaning is. So it's the Sermon on the Mount, we can call, is the Kingdom Manifesto, how Jesus explains the commandments and applies them to the heart, because there's more to them than meets the eye, of course. And Jesus was telling the people there, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So Jesus is really saying is that I've come to explain and show you what these commands are all about, and actually to live them out. So Jesus uses these phrases, you have heard that it was said, but I tell you. Well, who said it? Well, God said it at Mount Sinai. These were the words that he gave to Moses. And so Jesus' aim is to correctly apply God's word. He's not going to contradict it or alter it. That's quite clear. He's not changing things in one sense. He's explaining what it was really meant to be about in the first place. And he shows us that the commands are far-reaching in their application, as we'll see from his Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, but I tell you, and Jesus is going to say a few illustrations of these things. But the point he's making about all these is even little things can lead to very big disasters. Things may start small, but they can get really out of hand quite quickly. And that's the point he's saying, is the commandments are showing you what the end of the slope is like, but their warning is about the danger of getting on the slope in the first place. So we'll look at what he means by this. I've got three examples. There are actually six in this section, but we'll only look at three this week. Three examples of small slips that lead to big falls. Number one, how murder starts. Secondly, how adultery starts. And three, that divorce is a serious matter, and that's got to be treated with the seriousness that it deserves. All of these are examples of how we treat other people, because that's one of the essences of the Sermon on the Mount. The commands are given to show us how we relate both to God and to people. Well, Jesus starts by saying this, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. So it's not just actually killing somebody, but he says this. This anger can lead to this murder. And that's the point he's making, that there is a very real and terrible connection between the two. Anger is just the beginning of something that can become really quite bad very quickly. And he goes on further to say, and again, anyone who says to his brother, Raka, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. That's the court, the highest court in the land. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. That's the highest court in the universe. That's God's judgment. And what Jesus means by these things is it's an increasing degree of expression of anger and wicked ways, basically. We're angry with someone, and then we start saying Raka, and then we really dismiss them as a fool. The word Raka is really another way of saying you stupid idiot. It's denigrating the person's mind and intellect. And then you move on to a further stage. Fool really means that you're dismissing the person as a nasty waste of space. It really is a total put down. Jesus is warning us against those things. He's saying that is equivalent to leading into killing somebody. If you destroy their reputation, effectively you're destroying the person. And that's the warning. He's saying that commandment about you mustn't kill, actually it means murder. It's not to kill in the sense of there was, of course, a place for capital punishment for a convicted criminal. That's not what it means. It's murder. It's talking about someone deliberately going out to kill somebody. Another result of that anger is it hinders our worship. It can block us off from our fellowship with God. Your worship is hindered if you're not right with your brother. And I'd like to say this, your worship is hindered. Peter makes this comment. Your worship is hindered if you're not right with your wife. He makes that quite clear, you know. This wrong heart attitude can really spoil our relationship and fellowship with God. That's a terrible warning. Something to keep us on the right track. And therefore, Jesus says, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. See, there's a danger. I'm getting all religious, so it doesn't matter how I treat other people, my brother and my wife, my sister and so on. You know, if I'm doing my religious bit, that's all right. Well, Jesus is telling us, religious activity is no substitute for repairing a broken relationship. He says, you want to come and worship me? Well, sort it out with your brother and sister first, and then the worship will be okay. Really, really a challenging one, that. I've seen it over the years. I'm sure you've done it yourself at times. You know, things haven't been right, and so you get more religious. You sing a few more songs or read a bit more of the Bible, when all the time the Lord's saying is, sort it out, get it fixed. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court, Jesus tells us. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. Well, Jesus is making it very clear there, really, that things are serious. If you don't sort things out, it could get into a bad situation. Really, he's saying is you don't have much time. So do what you've got to do before it's too late. Because if you get stuck in some sort of prison, of the anger has locked you in. It says in Hebrews, a root of bitterness can begin to start forming. And that's definitely a prison. And getting out of that is not easy. And then we come to the seventh commandment. Jesus deals with this now. You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. Well, that was quite clear in the commandments, but Jesus says there's more to it than that as well. And we say this, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see, this look can lead to this adultery. And he's warning us, you know, that your eyes and so on, and he's, just to draw the contrast, there's a really important difference. To appreciate and admire beauty is lovely. I mean, you can thank God for beautiful things, can't we? There's lots to thank God for. But the problem with lust is it wants to possess, it wants to abuse, it wants to take over. It's not appreciation at all, it's wanting to possess and take over, which is wrong. And so, you know, Jesus is warning us about that. And so he gives us a few practical, very practical things to say. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Well, we look at what Jesus means about gouging your eyes out, of course, but essentially the idea is the things that you look at can get you into a big mess. And don't, aren't we aware of that? And that, I suspect, is more so these days. The internet has provided a great deal of pornography, which has ruined a lot of people's lives, families, relationships and so on. But it's not just that. But basically, what you look at, what you let into your eyes, the stuff you watch on the telly, the stuff that you look at on the computers, the things that you read, all those things can have terrible consequences. He says, you know, you've got to watch. You've got to watch what you watch. And he says it's better to, and we'll look at what he means to gouge it out, of course, but it's better to lose one part of your body, to be maimed almost, than to go to hell thinking you're all right. And Jesus is the one who warns about hell more than anybody else. He says there are real eternal consequences to the things that we do with our eyes. And then he also says, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Just to say, we'll be looking at this next week, but the word, you know, the Holy Spirit's very careful about the words he puts into the scriptures. And he says, if your right hand causes you to sin, why your right hand? Well, he's assuming that most people are right-handed, and that that's the one you use most. Anyway, basically, we've seen the eyes thing, the things that you look at can cause problems. The things that you do, your hands, that's the idea. The things that you do can have terrible consequences. Again, that's quite clear, isn't it? We see that all the time. We see it on the news. People just doing what they thought was just a little thing, and it's turned out to be something disastrous in the end. Yeah, most problems start small. I think that's what we can say, can't we? Well, just to explain this matter about the hands and the eye thing, this is not about self-harm. You know, that's a terrible thing. God's given you a body. You're beautifully made, wonderfully made, fearfully made, he says. Your body's the temple for the Holy Spirit. So he's not about talking about harming yourself. Jesus is using what we call hyperbole. He's putting something in strong language to get the point across. Really, what he's saying is it's better to cut it out than destroy yourself. You know, cut it out. Whatever it is, what you're looking at or what you're doing, cut it out. People might think you're being foolish, you're being a bit choosy and picky, but Jesus says, you know, little things can cause big problems in the long run. So it's better to cut it out than destroy yourself. And then we come to the 10th commandment, but he takes it a bit further in the whole matter of divorce. He says, it has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. That was one of the commands given via Moses, because one of the problems was that women were treated very badly, and Jesus is going to make sure that this message gets back to where it should be. Because I tell you, he says, that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. I've got some pictures there. This was leading to this. You know what this is? It's burnt toast. A bit of burnt toast leads to a broken marriage. There were teachings around in Jesus' time, and this is one of the questions why they were throwing this at Jesus. There was teaching around that if your wife didn't please you, in the sense that she burnt the toast or spoiled something, you were quite in order to divorce her. It was a really, really terrible thing. Trivial grounds for divorce. And Jesus says, no, that's all wrong, unless there's been a break at the heart of the marriage through marital unfaithfulness, he uses that term there. Unless that's really cut at the heart of the marriage, then divorce is not on. How it is. You know, what God's joined together, don't let people pull apart. So Jesus is criticizing their misuse of the commandment, and they're making divorce something very trivial. That's what's happening today, of course, in our legal system, isn't it? Which is sad. You know, we need to reinforce and encourage marriage. You know, problems happen, don't they? The toast does get burnt occasionally, but that's not the grounds for throwing your wife out, is it? And such things like that. You know, you live through the issues, you work together and seek to solve them. That's what Jesus is getting at. No divorce on trivial grounds. And so, finally, this is my final verse, freedom. Jesus is saying, in applying these commandments, Jesus' teaching demands a response. You know, it's not just knowing the theory, it's how we live it. That's what it's about. And Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And when we hold to his teaching, it means we do it. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm so glad God's given us his word. I hope you are too, because to have something that's, you know, sure and certain in a very confusing and uncertain world is something worth holding on to, isn't it? So let's make sure when it comes to our anger, there's a call by the Lord, don't let the sun go down while you're angry. Sometimes anger's right, you know. that human anger can get carried away very quickly. Let's make sure that our anger doesn't become a destructive force within us, to destroy other people's characters, to want to get even with people. We'll see that next time. So watch out for the anger, and watch out for how we use our eyes and our hands, what we look at, the way we behave, because these are really important things. They may seem quite small in some ways, but you know, these affect the way we form our lives and what characters we become. So Jesus is saying, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. What it is to be a disciple of Jesus, eh? Following the Master. Because when you follow him, you can't go wrong. And the truth will set you free. Free from all the funny ways that people think, the things that have tied up our lives, all of those things. His truth sets us free. Isn't that wonderful? To be a free child of God in this world in which we live. And of course, as a result of that, being able to share that with others. So the Lord bless you. And you want to read through those commands again? Just remember, there's more to the commandments than meets the eye. They go very deep into probing our lives, touching our hearts, showing us what it's all about. And you see, that was the problem of the people of Jesus' day, the Pharisees in particular. Just remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. He said, what thing have I got to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, you know the commandments. And he says, I've kept them all. He thought he'd kept them all. Outwardly, I mean, he hadn't killed anybody and all of those things, you know, but Jesus is really getting at the point, the commandments aren't just about the outside, they're really dealing with the inside. And of course, the inside needs the Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to renew us, to put his life within us. And when he does that, the truth sets us free indeed. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just pray, shall we? Thank you, Jesus, for your life given to us, that we may have a full life, Lord, knowing your blessing. Oh Lord, help us. Give us that self-control, that discipline of the Holy Spirit in the things that we see and we do. Lord, help us with our minds and our attitudes when perhaps people ruffle us up, Lord, and things upset us. Lord, we pray you'll help us, gracious Lord. And may we not just use religion as a cover for our evil ways, but Lord, be made free through the truth that's in Jesus. Bless us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.